Hello.
Yes, is Peter in, please?
Yes, he is. Just a moment.
Thank you.
Hello.
Good morning, Peter.
Yes.
Dave Perk from Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Hey, Dave.
How are you?
How are you doing?
Good.
Where
how are
in
you?
Michigan?
From Kalamazoo, down in the southwest.
Kalamazoo. They wrote a song about you.
Well, not about me, but about the town. you're right about that.
Right.
Yeah. I got a gal in Kalamazoo, I guess it was called, something like that.
That's it.
Kind of a snappy tune.
Dad and I were both born in Detroit. So
where are you?
Michigan,
oh.
We know.
Oh, great. What took you out to Hawaii, besides the beautiful weather?
Exactly. Well, we both ended up in California where we met.
Uh-huh.
And Hawaii is just a hop, skip, jump away.
Well, sure. Well, that's great. I'd love to go there sometime. I haven't made it out that far west yet.
Okay.
Maybe someday. So, first of all, I've got you set up. I called you actually on my computer through a program called Skype, which allows
I know Skype.
Do you use it?
No, I unfortunately don't. But I'm in Rotary, and we've changed homes, traded homes. Mm-hmm. And one of the homes that we traded in England had Skype, and it was wonderful because you could call anybody with Skype free.
Correct. Yeah, they've changed it a little bit now. You can go computer to computer for free, but
right.
You have to buy credit now to go from Skype to a landline, which still it's really, really cost effective. But
yeah.
What I like about it is some people have Skype accounts and they also have USB microphones, and the quality of audio that I can capture doing it that way is far superior to talking on a landline because
it's
I don't
digital.
Know. Yeah, it's digital to digital, and it just sounds almost like, you know, the person's right in the room with you when you're recording. But we'll work with this. I mean, this is going to be something that I'm going to run into frequently, you know, in talking with people. Everybody doesn't either have access to a computer or are set up, you know, with a USB mic to use it that way.
Right.
So,
right.
But, so you got a chance to see the video that I've got online, I understand. You like that. You did watch in plain sight, correct?
I did not.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet?
No, I have not.
Oh, well, I can. Do you have a computer and internet?
Oh, yes.
I'll give you an address to my website, and you can go online and watch it anytime you want. It runs about 30 minutes.
Okay.
What it is, it's the first part of what the DVD will be. The second part is going to entail gathering interviews from ex-tour personnel and putting those interviews together with some sort of photo slideshow that will kind of tell old war stories from guys who were actually there. And then
right.
The third part is going to basically revisit the reunion that happened earlier last year in Washington, D.C. I've got a lot of photos from that reunion, and we'll have some audio from people who were there talking about their experience at the reunion. So then I'll combine
right.
all three and put them into a DVD to distribute.
Sounds great.
Yeah. I thought you had seen.
What is your website?
The website is www.keepsakemedia.
Keepsake Media.
Yeah.
I saw that.
KEEPSAKEMEDIA.net. It's a .net.
Right.
And when you go there, you'll see a link at the top that says In Plain Sight, and that will take you. Originally, I had the movie on my website where it was playing directly from my website, but I found that because of people's have different internet speeds, it was better to actually put it on Google and Metacafe and Yahoo, and there's a couple other online sources that I uploaded the video to, and it plays. There's a link from my In Plain Sight page that takes you right to one of the pages that plays it, and it seems to stream better off their servers.
Great.
So you can take
Will
your pick.
Will it play on my Mac?
Oh, yeah, it'll play on your Mac. It'll play. You have a Mac?
Yes.
Well, then you have iChat.
Yes, I haven't used it, but it's there, right?
Well, I'll tell you, iChat is a lot better audio. I've got a map, too, and that's what I use.
Oh,
and
okay.
So we could actually go on iChat, and I could, you know, it'll sound great. Do you use just an iSight camera, or is it built into a laptop or an iMac, or how are you set up for your...
I have no idea.
Okay, let me ask you this. What type of Mac do you have?
It's an iBook G4. It's a laptop.
Okay, so we would just have audio, which is fine.
There's a built-in microphone.
Correct. Yeah. So that would probably be even better for us to capture than doing it the way we're doing now. Are you by your computer?
I can be. Just a sec.
Okay.
Let me take this phone. I don't think so. Okay, I'm at the computer.
Okay. Oh, you know what? We're gonna. I just thought of something. If you've never used iChat before, there is one of two ways that you can actually use iChat. And it entails setting up an account either with .Mac or with AOL through their Instant Messenger. You've got to have one of two things. So I don't know how much time you have. I can walk you through that process if you want to do that so that you have the capability of using iChat in the future. It's not that difficult. It just takes a couple minutes to get set up. Or I don't know how you are fixed for time. Like I said, I'm pretty open this afternoon, but I don't know what your schedule's like. But
yeah, no, I've had a total of a half hour from beginning to end.
Okay. Well, let's do this. Why don't we go ahead and we'll just talk about your experience at the mission, and then maybe sometime in the future when you've got a little more time, we can contact each other and I can help you get set up so that you can use your iChat, because there's other mission personnel that are on iChat as well. And what this does is it allows you to even know when they're online, so you can make, you know, some new contacts and new acquaintances, and it's kind of a neat program. So let's do that. I'll help you with that later on.
I'm just clicking get an iChat account.
Okay. Well, if you've gotten that far, if you want to go ahead and do it, like I said, it just takes a second to get set up, and they do walk you through it. There's one of two things that you can do. I have what's called a .Mac account, and it's an annual fee that I pay, and I have access to their servers so that you can put web pages up, and you've got email through them, and it's just very nicely interfaces with the operating system. The free way to do it is to set it up through AOL, although there is a 60-day free trial that iMac gives you where you can set it up with .Mac, and for 60 days it's absolutely free. It costs nothing. And then
after that, what does it cost?
Well, actually, it costs about $99 a year, so it works out to a little less than, you figure about, with tax, it's $106 or something. So it's about $9 a month.
Yeah.
But what it does...
I do have AOL.
Okay.
AOL is free. I'd rather do that.
That's fine. AOL gives you access to the iChat system so that you can sign in. You can even get a webcam and do free video conferencing through iChat. There's lots of benefits to using iChat you've got a Mac, although Skype is also a free program where you could go computer to computer too, which is what we're using now. So if
Skype is free.
I'm sorry? Skype is free. Skype is free, too. I can send you a link, or else you can just Google S-K-Y-P-E.
Yeah.
That will give you a free download. And Skype also, we could use that, and it's very quick to set up. It takes about a minute. And you can also know when people who are, you can set up groups within Skype, so you could have your mission buddies or whoever you want, and it gives you an alert when they're online. And you can also video conference and audio conference through that system, and that's free computer to computer.
Now, I'm just curious, you keep saying the camera.
Right, a webcam. What you would want, if you, there are two ways to do it. The least expensive way is to go to Best Buy or any place that carries, you know, computer things and buy what's called a USB webcam. Logitech is probably the best quality equipment for the money, and they're very universal. The only thing is with a USB webcam, to use it with iChat, you have to buy a $10 download, which is a program that allows the USB camera to interface with iChat. iChat normally wants what's called a FireWire camera attached.
Right.
And there are a couple options there. The iSight camera, which is no longer made, but it's available through eBay and places. That's what, in fact, that's what I bought when they first came out. That's a FireWire camera. It attaches right to your FireWire port, and it automatically syncs up with iChat. You can also use any DV camera, any camcorder that has FireWire, and use that camcorder to interface with iChat. So there, like I said, there's a couple ways to do it. With a camcorder, you'd have to have a little tripod, or whether it's kind of maybe a more of a problem setting up. But the USB angle on this is the cheapest way to go. They're readily available. And
what was the make of the webcam that you said?
I'll tell you what. I've got your email, so what I'll do, I'll send you some links later on today.
Oh, that'd be great.
Different cameras you can look at, and I'll send you a link to the little application that you can download for $10 and use that so that iChat will work with your USB camera. So I'll send all that stuff to you.
Great. That's very kind. Thank you.
You're very welcome. And then later on, maybe we can even use that.
Great.
So let's go ahead and, I've been interviewing or recording all this, but I'm going to edit it all down.
All right.
So what I'm basically interested is, first of all, just, you know, what I'd like you to do is just state your name and what your position was at the mission and when you were there and who was the chief, and then just in your own, you know, relaxed format, just talk about an interesting situation. It can be something that happened out on the road or, you know, in Berlin or whatever you want to talk about. But what I'll do then is I'll take snippets of that and I'll edit it down and then integrate it into the project. So go ahead if you want to just start out and just state your name, your position, when you were there, who was the chief, and then go on from there.
Okay. First of all, my name is Peter Stern, and I was a private when I started at the mission, but I was promoted to corporal before I left. I was there from January 1953 to the end of August 1954. I was a German interpreter, and at the mission at the time, the chief of mission was a gentleman named Colonel Schonzi. And Colonel Schonzi retired at the same time that I was leaving the mission, so I don't know who preceded him or who came after. But the thing is that being a member of the mission at the time, I was told by a Captain Serafin at some intelligence place outside of Frankfurt. He said that if I accepted a position with the mission, that if something happened to me, it would, the United States would not come and rescue me. In fact, as they would deny, they even knew that I was where I shouldn't be.
That's interesting because I didn't know it was quite as secretive at that point. Of course, it was fairly young and new in 53.
Well, this it wasn't until just halfway through my time at the mission that the patches were made that said United States Military Liaison Mission Potsdam. And it was a surprise to me because, again, Captain Serafin had told me that I shouldn't even tell my parents where I was. So my mother, who was lecturing for the State Department at the time in Germany, when she came to Berlin, I pretended to be stationed at Andrew Barracks, and I was given time off to be with my mother. And she thought the Army was wonderful because they gave her son days off to be with his mother. And what she didn't know was that they wanted me to do that because I was in the East Zone, and they didn't want her to know that. So it was secret at the time. And there are a couple of experiences that I found are very, very strong in my memory. One was the uprising in East Germany. I think it took place June 14, 1953. On June 13, four of us, I was the driver and Sergeant Cafaro, who was the sergeant in charge out at the mission in Potsdam, and Captain Andrews, who was a Russian interpreter, and Commander Gray, who did not speak any languages but English. He was Navy. And the four of us went to Stralsund and Rostock in order so that Commander Gray could check out what ships were there. Were the Russians sending in any better ships for the East Germans to train on? And, we took a pass at the waterfront of Rostock, and he wrote down all the numbers of the ships that were there and the types of ships, etc. And then we overnighted in Stralsund, and on the morning of the 14th, when we came down from the hotel, there were like 100 people outside the hotel, and all of them were shouting something, and it was such a tumult that I couldn't get what they were trying to tell me. And there were Russian soldiers there. And the Russian soldiers told us to get our cars and go to the Kommandantura, which we did, having no choice. And the commandant of that area had a map, and he told Captain Andrews, who was the Russian speaker, as was Sergeant Cafaro, that they were to take this particular road back to Potsdam and no other road, period. So, of course, we took a different road. And the reason we took the different road was that something was happening. We didn't know what, but we figured it was up to us to decide were the Russians going to attack. I mean, after all, that was the purpose of the mission at that time, was to see what equipment, what number of Russians were coming into East Germany with the thought that were they preparing to invade the West.
So in other
we
words,
drove down.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
In other words, the route that the Russians insisted that you would take, you deviated and took a different route.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. We deviated and took a different route than the Russians had told us to take. So we got as far as Brandenburg, actually, and all the way down there was equipment out and tanks and guns and troops and it was a surprise to us to see that amount of movement. And when we got to Brandenburg, we were stopped. There was a roadblock. And a Russian lieutenant came up to the car, and Captain Andrews was sitting behind me, the driver, and rolled down the window. And the Russian, instead of speaking, opened the door. The door was not locked. And said, "You will follow me to the Kamadantura." And Captain Andrews, you know, drew out the diplomatic pass and said, "You know, we have this diplomatic pass, and you can't make us do anything." And he said, "You will do as I say." And he told a Russian soldier to shove Captain Andrews over on the seat and to get behind me, the driver. And this soldier put a pepeche on the back of my neck and cocked it. And then the lieutenant repeated to Captain Andrews, "You will proceed to follow me to the Kamadantura." So, needless to say, I think we had a clutch at that time in the Chevrolet, and I let out the clutch very slowly, and I was kind of scared because I'd never had anybody hold a loaded gun to the back of my neck before. And off we went to the Kamadantura, and the commandant, I stayed in the car under orders, and there were two Russian guards that held their guns on me all the time. And I was there in the car for about, I would say, 90 minutes to 2 hours, not knowing what the heck Cafaro and Andrews and Gray were doing inside. But after that time, they came out and they said that many calls had been made back and forth between Brandenburg and East Berlin, or Potsdam, I'm not sure which. Could have been Potsdam, to the Russians. And after all these telephone calls, it was determined that we could go as long as we proceeded directly to Potsdam. Well, at that point, we really did. We drove to Potsdam. And when we got to Potsdam, we learned for the first time that there had been an uprising in East Germany. And one of my buddies, a guy named Gustafsson, Waldemar Gustafsson, who was a Russian speaker, his parents were Russian, my parents were German, and we had taught each other some, you know, words back and forth. Gus had been driving somebody to East Berlin, and there was a picture in the paper the next day of a U.S. military liaison mission car in East Berlin surrounded by hundreds of people, and an article that stated that the Americans had instigated the rioting in East Germany. So the uprising came to naught, but supposedly things eased up a little bit after that. You know, living in Potsdam, one of the things that we did, I don't know if everybody did this, we would go out on daily driving missions to certain areas of East Germany, and we always took picnic lunches, and we would stop at the side of a road, and if a German came up either bicycling or a farmer or whatnot, I was asked to talk to them to find out had they seen anything new or different or what was going on. And I very quickly discovered that living under communism was living in fear, and that if you were a communist and high in the party, that you got certain perks. And all this business about being equal and, you know, no classes was a bunch of bull. I mean, if you were a member of good standing or even a leader of the Communist Party, you lived quite well. And otherwise, you did not live well. And one of the things that also intrigued me was that there was a rumor spread by the Russians that if East German farmers left to try to escape to the West, that they were going to bring in Chinese to take over the farms. And many people stayed in East Germany at that time, the farmers anyway, because they didn't want to see that happen. They kept hoping that someday they would get their land back because it had been taken to become collective farms. So that was one experience, the uprising in East Germany. Mm-hmm. And the only other thing that really sticks out in my mind is that one time I was asked to drive Colonel Schonzi from West Berlin to East Berlin for a Soviet party, some kind of reception. And it was a nighttime reception. So Colonel Schonzi said, listen, it's East Berlin. I'd like to take my own personal car, which is a Buick, quite a nice Buick. So I drove him. We went to East Berlin, and I dropped him off and parked where there were many, many, many other cars there. And suddenly, about five Russian soldiers, who apparently also were drivers, came up to the car and started making jokes in Russian about something. I just don't know what they were saying at my expense, but it was something. And four of the five left, the one guy, who was rather young and kind of nice, stayed and tried to talk to me. Now, I knew maybe 100 words of Russian. And, what we did was, he said something like that Eisenhower was a good man, and I said that Stalin was a good man. And he said, у меня Buick тоже, I have a Buick also, which surprised me. And he said, whatever the Russians' words were for Buick is a good car, хорошо, автомашина. And I tried to say that a Zim or a Zis were good cars too, which made him kind of raise his eyebrow. And at that point, I mean, this was an exchange of about, 30 seconds, maybe a minute at most. At that point, a black car pulled up. Two men jumped out in long black overcoats. They took this kid, one on each side, and hustled into the car. The one guy came back and said, "Говорите ли вы по-русски? Do you speak Russian?" And I said, "Очень немножко, very little. I know how to say," and then I said in Russian, "Hello, goodbye, beautiful weather." I said, "And that's it." The guy turned around and left and drove off with this kid. And, my thought was, oh, my God, we'll never see this kid again. So that was a second experience. Mm-hmm. The third one, if it's of interest, was on our very first trip up to Stralsund and Rostock. Nobody had ever been there before, apparently. We went through this little town, and Captain Andrews spotted an antique store. And he said, "Hey, let's stop, and there's an antique store. Let's see if they've got anything." So we all piled out and went in. And again, I was the German interpreter and talked to the guy, and he said that he'd never seen Americans before. He said, "I've got the good stuff in the back." He said, "So come on in the back." So we all went in back, and he really had some nice antiques, and we all bought stuff. And that second trip up there, which was probably the 13th of June, we stopped at the antique shop. And there was a big sign on the door, closed, and I knocked because I could see him inside. And he said through the door to me, he said, "Go away. Go away. Last time you were here, I was taken by the Russians and interrogated for 3 days and 3 nights." He said, "So just go away." And again, I felt so guilty because we had unwittingly caused this band great pain and great anguish. And so those are my stories. That's it.
Well, that's very good. I'm sure I'll be able to use some of that. What I'm going to do, I'm going to edit down this audio file, and later on, probably today, I'll put it up on the website where you can have access to it, so
great.
You can hear it.
Great.
And then what we'll do, and I'll probably email you a link with a password with instructions on how to download the file so you can listen to
it. Okay.
And then what this will give you is a little bit of, I guess, it'll give you a chance to hear what you said. And then if we want to, sometime in the very near future, set up an iChat or a Skype where we can do this and see if we can get a higher quality of the audio, you'll be able to hear what the audio quality sounds like, in other words.
Right,
and
right.
You'll know what you've said, so you can maybe, you know, not that what you've said isn't good and usable, but it's always room for improvement, you know, and condensing things and
whatever.
So I've only done one other interview that I've archived the audio to use, so I'm really just getting started with the second phase of the project. And I hope to, over the course of the next month, be able to speak with everybody that wants to talk to me, and that will give me ample time to edit things down and to get all of this assimilated into a project and get it burnt and get it ready to go, you know, up on the web for distribution. So that's
great.
Kind of the plan. But I'd really appreciate having the opportunity to talk to you and to listen to your stories. I was there from 73 to 75. I also was a German interpreter, driver, tour, NCO. So in fact, that's the reason I've gotten involved in this project. It's more of a labor of love than anything. I wanted to be able to put something together that all of us who were there can enjoy, and friends and families, and kind of reflect back on, you know, the importance of what we did. And
right.
Because
what's interesting, by the way, I went to USMLM, and on one of the things that I opened up, there was a picture of us in 1953 at the mission. Again, I don't know what link I got, but I downloaded it because it just was interesting to me, and I think it was part of the fact that Colonel Shaughnessy wrote a book after he got out, and perhaps that's where the picture had come from.
I see. By the way, do you have any photographs when you were there of either yourself or...
I do. When we moved here to Hawaii 2 years ago, I put everything in storage, and there's no way I can get at it. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's no problem. In fact, what if you Google USMLM,
right,
you will see in plain sight will come up. It's about five or six down on the ranking.
Okay.
And you'll see in plain sight. Now, there's a couple of them that come up on my Google search, and the better quality of the two is the Meta Cafe. It's www.metacafe.com. But you'll see it comes up just underneath a link to current.com, which is another one of these video websites. But that particular site, it displays the video quite small. You really can't see a whole lot. I mean, it's watchable,
okay.
But the Meta Cafe is the better link. But that's a place you can go. And like I said, I'll send you links to all this stuff. I'll send you info on the iChat software and the different USB mics that it's available. You can even buy them quite cheaply off a couple of internet websites. I don't know if you buy anything off the internet, but buy.com is a big electronics reseller of electronics, and I do a lot of business with them. They're very quick and very, very inexpensive. best prices you can find for that kind of stuff. So I'll send you a bunch of links. You can take
a look.
Really,
I very much appreciate that. I'm just looking. I've just walked downstairs. I had something called Bikerphone. Let me see what that is. That came with the computer. I've never opened it up. It doesn't say whether it's made in Japan, 1991 Apple computer. So I do have a microphone. I don't know how it attaches to the computer, though. I'll have to open it up and take a look.
Your computer should have slots in it that are called USB slots. They're little plugs.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, that is all
and
you
also
do.
And FireWire.
Okay, yeah, right. So the thing is about the FireWire, like I said, Apple made a terrific FireWire webcam, but they quit producing them because they're building them right into their equipment now. So the only place you can find them is on places like eBay, where you can find people who are selling them for one reason or another. They were quite expensive in the beginning. It seems like I paid $150 for mine, whereas you can get regular USB webcams for $40 on up that are good quality.
This microphone, by the way, looks like it should go into my video camera because it has one of those, it just has a plug. It doesn't have any
USB. It's got
USB
a mini photo plug, yeah. So that's, that actually, some computers did have an audio port that was for audio in and audio out.
Yeah.
That you could plug those into. But you would be much better off with a regular USB. In fact, the webcam has a built-in mic, most of them, so it's an all-in-one deal. As long as you're in a room that doesn't have a lot of ambient noise, it picks up everything quite well. The other option is if you're not planning on doing video chatting with people, the cheaper alternative is to go with a USB headset with a built-in microphone, and those you can pick up for $30 or so, and you don't have the video capability, but you've got the mic much closer to your mouth, so the quality is even better than if you're talking into a webcam. But either way, it's better than on the phone.
Gotcha.
So
okay, listen, Dave, I appreciate your sending me all the stuff, and appreciate your time.
Okay, it was great talking to you, and I hope we'll be able to talk again.
Okay, thanks again.
Thank you, Peter.
Aloha.
Aloha.